Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's meditation is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 11 through 17, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his father. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. This is our text. Fellow Christ, I don't know how many of you in the dorms are occasionally disturbed by helicopters flying over, rattling things in your room. They come over my house, since I'm right off the campus end here all the time, shaking windows and disturbing sometimes a person at sleep, forcing for me recollection eons ago of when I was an Army helicopter pilot in a war zone and had to go and bring wounded and sometimes dead back to hospitals and mortuaries. And that, of course, leads us to our text here today. It's fall again, and death may more naturally enter our minds just as we see flowers dying around ourselves and leaves falling. Pretty soon, the nice green grass is going to be replaced by flakes of snow. That day in Galilee, death was not on the mind of the crowd with Jesus. It was early spring. They were 25 miles down the road from Capernaum, at which place Jesus had healed the servant of a centurion. The centurion was a Gentile. He became for Jesus an illustration, an example of the kind of faith that he wanted all of us to follow after. The centurion had sent out some Jews to go and to convince Jesus to come back and heal the servant. But before he even got to the home, he sent out some of his friends and he said, "Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, but just say the word. I'm a man of authority, and I say, go and do this, go and do that. I command people and they do it. Just command and it will be done." And Jesus did, and it was done, and the servant was healed. So here they were in this really triumphal procession with the Prince of Life at the head, a large crowd, and now approaching Nain. Beautiful spring day, perhaps. You could look out and see the snowy caps of Hermon. But when they approached Nain, they came across an entirely different situation. For all that joy at healing the servant, Nain was a dramatic contrast. The entourage led by the Prince of Life confronted what Job called in his book the King of Terrors. That's his interesting title for death, the King of Terrors. In the form of a funeral procession. And there he was, a widow, leading the procession, her only son there. Her husband had preceded him. And the stark dramatic contrast is driven home in the Greek. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard those Christmas stories where we see that strange, and behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. We don't typically in English say, and behold, did you see the game last night? We might say, look, or hey, did you see this? But in the Greek, they have this special word because they want you to just get the contrast. And so it shows up here, and it's translated by behold, perhaps one of the only words that you can really kind of capture that contrast that the Holy Scriptures want us to see. When he came near the gate of the city, behold, right? Quite a stark contrast. A dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Here were all the reminders of that thing none of us wants to dwell upon. Death, the end of life. I want my life to be consumed by living, by joy, fun, future bliss, getting my degree in 4 years. I know some of you are in the 6-year program, right? 4 years for many of us. We want that degree. We want to get that dream job, finding the love of our lives, raising children, living out our days in happiness. But then, behold, in our lives, a friend, my grandfather, a cell phone, father dies or is sick. It intrudes in our life. And sometimes they are like death, right? Disturbing everything. All of a sudden, death, the King of Terrors, parades through my dorm room. And we have loved ones. They die. Now, some of you may be the farthest thing from your life, but then the grandfather, a grandmother, a mother, a father, someone old, someone young, they die. This widow had first lost her husband, now her son. The spectacle was perhaps even more graphic than our funerals. I mean, we line up people in a bunch of cars, and of course it's dramatic when we're at the funerals. But maybe you have to imagine yourself down in New Orleans when they have a band coming by, because that's the kind of processions that they had in those days. Wild lamentations, a procession, flutes, the sound of cymbals, of mourning, a large crowd following, and death. Ever since the disobedience of our parents, we have been living with its consequences. All of us are caught up in the cliche, we're born to die. It's a soundbite in our lives. It's not going to go away, even if it is a cliche. We are in our late teens, right? Man, how long did it take you to get to be age 20? How fast time goes by. And all of a sudden, we're planning for graduation, and then it's retirement party. Age 70 arrives. Really, is it that far away when 2019 has come so quickly? As some of us who have arrived there, how age 20 doesn't seem that far back when I was that age. And now, voila, behold, death starts staring us. Before long, we are going to funerals, and then before long, then we are the subject of the funeral. Not pleasant life, certainly. So if this story of our lives is marked by melancholy and sadness and weeping, lack of laughter, how much the more we value the rest of the story revealed to us here in this text today, the gospel that Jesus Christ defeated death. When Jesus came on the scene that day in history, 2,000 years ago, he came to us as the Prince of Life, the only begotten Son of his Father, who as our brother took on human flesh, not merely to go and to raise that son of Nain, but But he had a larger mission to accomplish. He spoke to the widow that day, saying, "Do not weep." And it says in the text that he had compassion on her. And that's the kind of Savior we have, a Savior of compassion, who has compassion for you. None of your sins are beyond help. God calls us today to repent of our sins and to turn to him who is, in fact, the God of hope. So when he said, "Do not weep, young man, I say to you, arise," he was really on the beginning of another longer trip that would really take us to the foot of the cross. And when he said, "Son, I say to you, arise," the universe had no choice of resisting, for when God says, "Arise," dead bodies arise. He's God. He has the power to do it. And when God says to you, "Your sins are forgiven," who are you to challenge God? And if you're not at the point that you think you are a sinner, then you have a real problem, because we are all fallen sinners in need of a Savior. And that's why Christ came. All of us are facing death, and that's the ultimate journey for all of us because of our sins. So who of us would deny our need for mercy, forgiveness, and love? And God wants to give it to us. In fact, he has given it to us in his Son. The road that day out of Nain was a triumphal road where death had to bow before the Lord of life. But Jesus did not stop at Nain. He rode on in majesty, taking the road to Calvary. And in doing so, he became the young man in death on our behalf, nailed to the cross, his own mother looking on, as your sins and mine were put there on Calvary. And when he said, "It is finished," that means that the price for your sins had been paid. It was not the end, however, any more than it was the end for the son of the widow of Nain. This same Jesus who had the power to give back life to that son had the power to take back life for himself, and he did on the third day when he rose again. And so here we are in September, and yet we're thinking Easter. So as we move into the fall and winter, let us all join the procession. Are you on it? Are you on the procession? Part of the crowd of Christ's disciples, part of his story, the Christ who carries our sins to Calvary and rises, defeating death, and who in so doing turns our death dirge into an Easter parade of everlasting life. Amen. Let's all rise now and pray together. Prayer number 113 on page 162 in the front part of your hymnary. God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be made flesh, that by his death he might atone for our sins and deliver us from eternal death. We pray, confirm in our hearts the hope that our Lord Jesus Christ, who with but a word raised the widow's son, in like manner will raise us on the last day and grant us eternal life through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.